Hi, welcome to Rockle and Russell's YouTube review. Each week we'll be setting each other challenges on YouTube and finding videos for hopefully your entertainment. Hope you enjoy this current episode.
I promise not to ask how you are, but how are you actually? how was Peppa Pig World? Oh, Butlins.
Yeah, really good. I'm a big fan. I just think Dolly's still at that age where even if the accommodation is a bit rough around the edges and that kind of thing, weather's not great. The time of year it's not a seaside resort time of year, really, is it? End of October. But there's just always something to do. And it's for her. If she's happy all day, I know that going away somewhere like that with Emma, I look forward to 8 o'clock when I'm sat on the sofa with a beer, watching whatever film is on the telly, you know, because... preview. So it was Den of Thieves on one night.
I've never even heard of Den of Thieves. What's Den of Thieves?
Den of Thieves is Gerard Butler.
Right. Already like it.
50 Cent.
Brilliant.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. And they are, it's like a heist, a bank robbery film.
Oh, okay. Was any good?
I would consider it very watchable, but a bit naff, but very, it's one of those films that I only watched because I saw the rewatch, we'd do a podcast about it.
And
pretty much every film they do is good, but I've seen most of them, but not some of them. Dolly being like occupied and having like the time of her life all day, it's just like you're fine because you're like, well, that's her taken care of, and then I can have 2 hours with a drink and something on the telly later, and I'm happy as well. So
avoiding the groovy gang or whatever.
Yeah, well, we were in it at one point.
skateboard race.
There were Canto, Brainiac Live were there, so we saw some explosions. We saw some little explosions.
I read his book, actually, while we were away. Bob Mortimer's And Away. And it was incredibly underwhelming, unfortunately. I was looking for some real inside information on, like, I think there's about 4 pages on Shooting Stars. And you think that's like an 8-series, like, of TV. And there's, like, one story about Larry Hagman. And other than that, it was just how they selected Mark Lamar and Ulrika Johnson. But no, nothing. And how Matt Lucas didn't like... Vic and Bob's Big Night Out when it first started, or Vic Reeves' Big Night Out when it started, and he made a complaint. Bob saw him in like do some stand-up and he really liked him, and then like he became George Does. Yeah, other than that, it's a lot about his childhood and stuff and his love for Middlesbrough. But basically all the stories he told on Would I Lie to You just told in a longer form. Like and then like about, you know, the fishing program with White House. It was like some of the insults that brilliant. Some of the insults that Paul Whitehouse said to Bob Mortimer when they first met up after his heart attack or heart bypass. It's like, you look like the outskirts of Romania.
Because I is it true? I heard him on something recently. It might have been Richard Herring. And he was saying that some of the chapters or some of the stories in the book are lies? Because it was kind of inspired a bit by... So there's stuff written in it that's completely untrue. But he has not told you which ones are and which ones aren't. You just read them and you're like, this might be a lie.
It's kind of like 2 or 3 sections of like, Would I Lie to You? And he tells 4 stories and one of them's not true or something. But I don't see the point of that. But we went to...
If the book is underwhelming off the back of hearing all of the Would I Lie to You stories that were so enjoyable, sounds a little bit like Phoenix Nights and Peter Kay's stand-up.
Yeah, definitely.
Like when Kay's stand-up kind of blew up and was everywhere, I was watching it thinking, this is just the jokes from Phoenix Nights, but told on stage in a sitcom. So, and the sitcom's better.
Yeah, I love Phoenix Nights, but I really liked Peter Kay's first kind of stand-up bits, and then it was just like being hit over the head with him, wasn't it? Like I think Michael McIntyre now is suffering from Peter Kay syndrome.
Peter Kay was one of those people who like he became a really good guest on stuff. Like he's always good value when he's a guest on like Parkinson and stuff like that because he's kind of just unscripted and on his own. But after a few years, that those stand up specials were just your classic like overplayed song syndrome. Too many people liking it. Too many people going on about it. Where you went, people were playing it and talking about it, and
shouting garlic bread in your face. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And the problem with like books, because Peter Kay's book is, I did this funny thing and everybody laughed. Kind of every chapter is like a lot of stories like that, and I think, that's not particularly funny. There's a couple of think when he was working in a bingo hall and someone come in with a gun and said, right, everybody get down. Peter Kay shouted at him, like, well, what do you want me to do? Dance? And I thought, that's in an inappropriate time to try and make some jokes. It's funny, Frank Skinner's joke, but he talks about how obsessed he is with women. And he was in a street in Italy and someone come down the road with a gun and everyone was like running down this street. And he goes, I think I'm ill. Because this woman walked past me. There's a bloke 20 yards behind us firing a gun in the air. And I thought to myself, she's got a nice ass. Yeah, so it's been 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more, since our last episode. Actually, we're going to call this series 2, episode 1. I think it's probably a good time to do that.
Let's do it. Yeah, there's a break, isn't there?
Rather than episode, I don't know, even know anymore, episode 29. Everyone knows all good series have 28 episodes, so we'll go with that. And we're going to start off today by talking about reality TV shows, which we basically spoke about this morning and got into. Oh, yeah, just in general, do you like reality TV shows? Because I think I don't. And then going through these clips this morning, I thought maybe I do.
I do, but only as a result of probably watching them with Emma. I don't think any of these programs have ever been things in the past that I would have watched on my own. And even now, like, I'll watch things happily with Emma. The minute she's not out of an evening, they don't go on. Yeah. So I'm watching them. I'm definitely not snobbish about them. You know, people pretend to not watch them and pretend they don't like them because they think it's not cool. As we're hopefully going to find out, there are bits in these things that are as good as anything else or as entertaining as anything else that you would see. Not necessarily watching it for the traditional reasons.
I think it's only like Love Island I can't get on with. I think that everything else I can see, the kind of chewing gum for the eyes kind of process of them all. But Love Island, I think it's just, I hate the fact the kids attain to be those people and I hate the way those people act.
That is a big thing that too many people are going to end up just thinking that's the new astronaut.
Yeah. When they ask what when I worked at the school, I had to do an interview with a kid about like careers and stuff. And I said, oh, what do you want to do when you're older, obviously? And he said he wanted to be a cosmetic dentist. And I was like, in my head, oh, fuck off. just say an astronaut and be done with it. Like, I've got some bits of paper where you can aspire to be an astronaut. I've got nothing to say you could aspire to be a fucking cosmetic dentist. Oh, yeah.
So, Bob Monkhouse, that's one of like the best jokes ever, apparently, isn't it? When he said, oh, when I was at school, they asked me what I wanted to be, and I said a comedian, and they all laughed. Well, they're not laughing now.
James Acaster does a good bit about meeting with a careers officer. What do you want to do when you're older? And he was like, I wanted to be an undercover cop, but I couldn't tell those people then.
Oh,
so I told everyone I wanted to be a drug dealer. Love Island's the only one I can't get on with. I would not mind it so much if every now and then they did a Love Island for like normal-looking people.
Or old people. You know, like Blind Date used to do an old.
That's another Frank Skinner joke, isn't it? When he goes, Blind Date. Blind Date. Sometimes they put old people on, don't they? And I just think to myself, how am I supposed to wank to that? So, Love Island, I'm not a fan of. I know my wife likes a lot of these programmes. I'm like in the same boat as you, I think. And then you surreptitiously watch it with your partner. And then I quite like quite a lot of them, to be honest. A celebrity version of these reality shows, I'm all over. I'll watch all day.
Yeah, it's hard because reality TV a few years ago, several years ago now, was a handful of programmes, wasn't it? And now 50% of what's on probably would fall into... Would you put like Four in a Bed and stuff like that in there?
Oh, definitely, yeah. But not like the repair shop.
No. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I tried again and failed to get the specific bit of Come Dine With Me where Barrymore nicks the coat.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. But I was getting closer because I went on to like a general like Wikipedia style search to find the episode list, find which one he was in, and then specifically search Come Dine With Me series 7, episode 8. And I found clips of that episode and I thought, oh, that's got to be a bit. But what I ended up watching though was equally good. That one of the I should have picked it really, but I'd forgotten. One of the contestants who I don't know.
Right.
I don't know who she was. She was telling a story, a harrowing account of like a home invasion where her house was broken into and she was tied up while she was robbed.
Oh, wow.
Right. Her and her husband, like, whacked over the head and then tied up while they were kind of, their house was ransacked. Mm. And while she's telling this story, Pat Sharp is sat next to her, which is just such a classic great name check for that kind of programme. And you can tell he's just got that look on his face where he wants to say something. And you're thinking he's going to say, oh, that's horrible, that's terrible, oh, you know, and all this. And he's just waiting, he's biding his time. And you see him once or twice try to sort of... And when she finally finishes the story, he goes, sorry, I didn't get any potatoes.
It was either Anthea Redfern or Jenny Powell.
Anthea Redfern then, yeah. Because I know Jenny Powell.
Who the fuck is Anthea Redfern?
Some woman that got burgled once, isn't and forgets to put potatoes on people's plates.
Anthea Redfern from it says here the Generation Game and Wheel of Fortune fame. Oh no, that must be Jenny Powell, surely. I don't think they've even got. they haven't even got a description of what Anthea Redfern does.
She's got the same biog as Jenny Powell.
Strike It Lucky host and tabloid favourite Michael Barrymore. Takes on Anthea Redfern from the Generation Game, comma, Wheel of Fortune babe Jenny Powell. There you go. I don't particularly like Four in a Bed or a kind of versions on Come Dine With Me. I'm quite happy to watch Come Dine With Me. I suppose, would you class Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares as a reality show?
I think it is. I mean, it's bordering on staged, a lot of that, though, isn't
it?
So,
definitely, yeah.
But technically, I think that's what I mean, though. It's still... What else, if not reality, what else? It's not a cooking program.
I like Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. I think I've seen every single one. I think I read somewhere that the restaurants have a 0% like working like well. Every restaurant every restaurant he's ever been into is now closed. But it's
did you carry on with? Like, do you watch the hotel ones as well when he branched out to hotels?
Yeah, a few of them, quite good. There's a really good one where the woman. Sings in her own hotel. She does like a Cher impression. Oh, and it is brilliant. And Gordon Ramsay's kind of got his back to her, but he's only like 5 yards away as she sings Turn Back Time. And it is absolutely ridiculous. And then I like it when the people, when he does their hotels up, don't like it. I really, that's brilliant for me. Yeah, because it's like Ramsay's nightmare. He tries the food and hates it. He then goes through the fridges and that's all terrible. Watches a service, that's all terrible. Gets the family together, everything's fine again. You know, it's just... the same every episode.
He went to the Costa del Sol and did a series there once, didn't he? A bit in that once where he saw someone drop something on the floor and then pick it up, put it in a deep fat fryer and cook it.
Yeah.
And he went, what the fuck are you doing? You know, like as he does.
Mm.
And the bloke said, oh, it's fine, the heat of the oil will kill any bacteria. And Gordon Ramsay goes, oh, will it? Oh, thanks. Oh, well, great. Well, thanks for there was part of me thinking, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I don't think like the 3 second rule plus 180 degree oil is probably enough to make that garlic mushroom safe.
Yeah. Well, we've both like worked in kitchens and and I don't think I've ever seen that happen. I've dropped something big on the floor and thought, I'll pick that up because that's really expensive. Like a whole salmon. no one's seen that. That's okay. That's going back in the fridge. Yeah. Yeah. I was like the guy outside the chip shop in Welling Garden. Yeah, I do like a Ramsay nightmare. There's one who goes to Amy's baking company and he actually can't get through it. They're so like shit that he ends up having to walk out and like genuinely they remove all the cameras and stuff. That's the best episode of any reality program involving Gordon Ramsay anyway. That's quite a niche. There's a lot. So going back to our partners watching reality TV, shall I play one from quite a recent series, which my wife watched, and then I got massively into to the point that I rewatched older episodes, Married at First Sight Australia. And I think this is like, I don't know if it's serious.
I'm watching that now.
Oh, right. So I don't know if it's like series 33 or it's episode 33, but it's from the last series that was on Channel 4. So it must be like, it must have run for a few series because I know there's other clips on there, but this involves Jess and Mick who, so the premise of the program, two strangers meet up and get married, who have been kind of matched by experts, inverted commas. And let's watch that one.
I haven't got a lot better since we've last seen you. So let's get to the decision to find out whether you want to stay or leave. And we'll go with you first, Mick.
Well, don't want to waste any more people's time, but I've written leave 19 times. I have decided to play.
Oh, heaven to Betsy.
I came into this experiment wanting to find somebody that I could build a life with. And yeah, I found that. But it's not with Mick, it's with Dan.
What? Now, this all makes sense. You dragged me, you made me stay here by myself and made me look like an idiot and go mental so you could play footsies and buddy flirt with him. You are the most selfish brat ever, you spoiled bitch. Unbelievable, mate. I think at one stage I actually bloody liked her.
Is Tamara just finding out now too? Okay.
So you wrote, hold on. Settle. You wrote stay because you wanted to try to make it work with me, but really just because you wanted to hang out with Jess. So you're a liar. I don't care that you were together. Honestly, like that does not faze me. It's the lying, the manipulating, not only to me, but to everybody. It's bullshit. We're adults. Grow the f*** up. Seriously. And I've had your back.
I know.
And you've shat all over me. As a girl.
Why did you keep Mick here?
I kept Mick here last week purely to have a friendship. I didn't expect to have the connection I had with Dan. I didn't. And...
here, what do you and Dan want to happen?
Obviously, we'd just like to see how we go as a couple.
Oh, so are you going to stay in the experiment?
Is that what you're asking, Jess?
You're taking the piss out of this whole experiment.
Tam, what had you decided to do tonight in terms of stay or leave?
I was leaving.
Me too.
And thank Christ I chose that.
Mick and Tamara, you've been through enough tonight, and so what we're going to get you to do is to say your farewells to the group. Now, while you're doing that, we have to discuss and face a situation which we've never experienced on Married at First Sight before.
Right, so that was the scandal that was Jess and Mick, Married at First Sight, Australia. So, bit of background, did you kind of get the gist of it? That she kept saying, I think they both got to leave. But if one of them puts leave and one puts stay, they stay. And
like
she
golden balls.
Yeah. Yeah. Split or steal, yeah. and then she kept putting stay, so Mick had to stay, but she was doing that to get with this new bloke, Dan. So this Mick was being dragged around Australia, going to her house, and she had to go to his house to obviously be still part of the TV programme. He had to meet her family when she was doing all this. And he was just like, he obviously couldn't go to work and stuff. He was just like a farmer. But then he used to turn up to those like fancy dinners, everyone dressed up to as much as they could. And he'd be in flip-flops and shorts and just writing leave. So for the love of God, let it end. Like when that happens, I just felt so sorry for him. Like even in that clip, you're a bit like, oh, you poor bloke.
So he's, I presume he's contractually bound that once he's in the programme that he can't walk out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he can, but he wouldn't get any money or anything or whatever it is.
Yeah, like when people go home from I'm a Celebrity or whatever. So he, and then he's having a right go. But then when him and that Tamara, I think, who was with that Dan, I think her name's, they call her Tam, but I think her name's Tamara. They stand up and leave. And he looks at her up and down and goes, so me and you then? And she laughs it off. But I think there was a little bit of him that was like up for that. So, yeah, I think there's been a UK series out recently because I think one of a girl from Bishop's Hatfield was in it. I'm not sure which one or whatever. I didn't watch an episode of it. Sadly, I missed it. But sad. But, yeah, it's really kind of, I think the fact there's an experiment kind of part of it makes me want to watch it a little bit more as like an observer more than a trashy TV show. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, Emma's massively into it at the moment, but only recently. She must have discovered it late, like you. But she doesn't watch it on the telly. It's the thing that she kind of has on her phone while she's kind of, you know, driving, pottering, getting dressed and doing her hair and getting ready and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm aware that she's watching it quite avidly at the moment, but she hasn't brought it to the big screen yet.
That's how it works. It's a vetting process. Yeah.
That woman in the red dress who got up and went to sit next to him, is she like a presenter then?
No, she's actually one of the other couples and obviously became friends with like Mick and stuff. And everyone was kind of on Mick's side apart from one woman who was still backing Jess because they were friends. And Mick's like, how can you stick up for her? How can you like do that? Like it is all really petty and like shit. And but then like they're happy to talk like, oh yeah, we were intimate yesterday for the first time. You think, God, you're on telly telling like people you've had sex with each other and stuff. Just a mad new world, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just glad they don't film those bits. And
the programs now, like you wouldn't have believed a few years ago, would you, that there was going to be like Emma watched one recently. I think it was very much in the vein of Love Island, but it was called Temptation Island. Basically, was like Love Island is trying to create couples, isn't it?
Yeah.
This program, from what I could gather, was exclusively to destroy existing couples. Went Caribbean Island or neighbouring islands, five couples, and then they had a quick chat, and then the five blokes went to one luxury villa on one island, and the five partners, the five women, went to another, and then they just flooded the respective houses with like 15, 20 members of the opposite sex who were bang up for desperately like after a fella or a girl. And it was just it was actively geared towards trying to
it'd be nice if you were just like single with a really close female friend that would want to act as your partner. I'm gonna go to an island
I think that's the suggestion these days though, isn't it, with Love Island now, with Instagram and everything else and influencers and social media people, that there are people who do that who sort of
sad, isn't it?
Yeah, buddy up with someone to get on it, to raise their profile, to hopefully then, you know, make a career off the back of it.
Terrible.
I don't know.
Because there was that Love Island girl that was supposed to turn on the Christmas lights in Welling Garden, weren't they? And there were so many complaints about her not being the right type of person to turn on lights. like she wasn't allowed to do it in the end. So like, I just felt sorry for her as well. Like, she's not asked for that. You know, they're not in charge of what gets edited in or out of these programs, are they? And some people come away looking really bad. And like a lot of times with I'm a Celebrity, you don't even see much of a couple of people in it. And then all of a sudden they're voted off at like the first two. But if you're a bit of an arsehole, then you're gone. You pretty much stay till the end.
That comedian, Andrew Maxwell, Irish comedian, was on Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. And everybody has just said, like everybody else that was in it that has seen the footage since, has just said that was weird. They kind of... They made it look like he was like the enemy of the gang, and he was just nothing like it. He was just one of the group, like everybody
else. Yeah, and Ian Wright was one of the people on that series, wasn't he? And they showed like them arguing and stuff, but there were such little things. Like, I think Andrew Maxwell was too enthusiastic of offering Ian more food, and Ian didn't want more food. That was a really good series, though, because I liked Ian Wright, obviously. And do you like I'm a Celebrity? I think I like the Ant and Dec bits more than like anything else that goes.
But then I think they've suffered recently, becoming overly kind of scripted as well now.
Yeah.
I used to kind of like it when they didn't really say anything particularly entertaining, but they just maybe both got the giggles.
Yeah.
But now it's all sort of looks like it's been driven sort of really specifically at these big sort of links. And I saw... I was dropping Dolly off at school this morning and got in the car. It was icy. So I was like, oh, that's a surprise. So I put her in the car and I was like, I'm just going to scrape the ice off. So I was mucking around. I was like scraping a little hole and then looking through it. And I could like hear her muffled laughing. And then I sort of finished scraping it. But then, you know, when you've done that a lot of the time, when you get in, you've then got the actual condensation on the inside as well.
Yeah.
And I started to drive and it was clearing a little bit. But then I turned the car around to drive out of the road and the sun hit the screen. And then... that was it. I was completely blind then. And I just went, oh, Dolly, man, I can't see. And she absolutely pissed herself. Yeah. Something about it made her laugh. She obviously doesn't know what it's a reference to.
I thought she didn't like didn't like accents and things.
No, she's grown into it now because
you've beat her over the head with that one.
Yeah, I was reading a story to her the other day and like the Jack and the Beanstalk bit come up, and Daisy says "Hello, Jack," and I said "Hello, Jack" in the Borat voice from when he's doing the bowling, you know, when he's
who is Jack? Yeah,
yeah. And I said it. I said hello, Jack, like that. And Dolly found that very funny as well. So she's through and out the other side.
Do you find it like if you go somewhere and for a while you start kind of picking up the accent and you saying it to yourself? And I've been in Scotland for a week, so I've just been talking in a Scottish accent. And then I kept doing it in front of my brother-in-law, who is Scottish as well. And I said a footballer's name in a Scottish accent, and it really made me laugh that I kept saying it. And it was a Kelechi Iheanacho.
Alex, Alex,
Kelechi Excellent. So I think it's from series three of Big Brother, proper Big Brother. Yeah. And do you want to talk us through the clip?
I think it's my favourite series of Big Brother, that is.
Yeah.
It's the one I remember the most. I remember the first one being on because of how big news it was. I don't think I watched it properly. Mm. The second one I didn't watch at all. And then the third one, for some reason, I must have been in a position where it was kind of on at a time when I was...
Yeah.
You know, able to watch. So I just remember it's the one that I remember the most. And I liked him, that Alex sibling.
Yeah.
Because of just, I don't know.
Slightly odd, wasn't he? But quite cool, yeah. I suppose.
He was handsome. He was good looking. And that, like that clip. It's a shame he struggled so much with his buttons.
Yeah.
Because the initial bit was really cool. Obviously, like you say, it's very visual. But people are looking for him to kind of come and join a task. They're drunk, they're screeching and they're shouting, and he's quite a cool customer.
Yeah.
And he senses and knows that they're coming towards the room, so just steps behind the door, and the music as it comes on, as the door sort of swings shut and reveals him behind there. But then he faffs around with his buttons for a minute. It's like, oh, he messed that up.
Ruined it. Yeah.
But I remember him... you know, like sometimes in that people come up with these really like convoluted reasons of why they're nominating someone to be evicted.
Yeah, can't stand evicted. It. Yeah.
Is that the word they use in Big Brother? Yeah, evicted.
Yeah.
And
I thought you were going to say convoluted.
I don't think he gets me. I don't, you know, like really, really kind of neither here nor there. And I remember he nominated someone once by just saying, I'm going to nominate Johnny because he told me he wees in the shower and I think it's disgusting. I was like, yeah, that's much more like it. Like, if I was in a program like that, the petty reasons I would give, you would be amazed. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But, you know, someone would have to say something slightly wrong once and that would be it. I'd be like, no, they pronounce that word wrong. They're out.
Yeah, snoring's a big thing, isn't it? It's getting nominated. Oh. If you snore, you are nominated. So, I would incredibly struggle on that program. But what I like about Big Brother is, you know, they say, oh, it's only a game. It's only a game show. The game show is based on your personality. So if you're a shit human being, you get evicted. And so a lot of people have had some massive comeuppances of like, oh, I thought I was actually quite funny and cool. But no, I'm not. I'm a dick. And that's why I'm back on the street. I think it was... Frankie Boyle, isn't it? Like to say, oh no, that was about X Factor, about Matt Cardle saying he was an ex painter and decorator. Well, I think it'd be fairer to say he is a future painter and decorator. Yeah, but those bit first kind of, I don't remember much about season two. Season one, obviously, with the Craig and Nasty Nick, Nasty Nigel, one of the two.
Nasty Nick.
Nasty Nick. And I'd like to nominate Sada, obviously. But yeah, that season with Kate Lawler, and I think Kate Lawler, she went on to do like Lads Mags and things, didn't she?
Yeah.
She was really good in it and I liked her. And it started to get like, you had to be very completely different to if you wanted to win it, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't remember the name of the transgender lady who won it, but then, you know, fair enough, won. But I think kind of the program set up these people to win, you know?
Yeah. Transgender was Nadia, wasn't it?
Nadia, that's it. Yeah. Because there was nothing much about her to make me think, oh, she deserves to win. Thank you. I've been practicing. that made me think, oh, she's better than anyone else or worse than anyone else. She was a bit of a much of a muchness. And then she won. And I thought, well, that's for the point of her winning. The first transgender person to win Big Brother.
I'm with it to an extent, because it is, you know, if someone from like a group or a minority wins something like that and it does good for that minority,
yeah,
then that's good. I'd be behind that. What I would say a lot of the time on them programs though is supposed minorities are fucking wankers. Yeah. And the people that they're representing, surely on the outside, are like, we're not, this isn't what we're like. We're not like that person. So, but they still get votes. So there must be enough people that are still think the overall good in it. But I remember, what was his name? In a celebrity version, Perez Hilton, you know, like the kind of, he was awful, but because he was gay, people like went on his side, like, you know, hitched onto his wagon, as it is, when he was having arguments. They were doing it because they were thinking, I couldn't go against him because people would think I was homophobic. Like, no, like, step back for a minute and watch this bloke and you'll realise he's horrible, disgusting, he's rude, he's mean, he's horrible to everybody, but because he's gay, you're taking his side because you're worried that people will think you're homophobic.
Yeah, and because there were such scandals within, like, the Big Brother house with racism, with Shilpa Shetty and Jay Goody and the girl from S Club 7. I think people were so scared to talk about, even speak their mind, other than the odd John McCurick prick that would go on and say whatever he wanted because he wanted to get voted out. And then I think, you know, fuck Channel 4 for putting it on there, for actually, you know, highlighting these things and showing, like, look at all this racism. I know, obviously, it's terrible that it happened, that she got called Shilpa Popperdom or whatever. Like, you think, yeah, that's awful, we shouldn't do that. I think Big Brother should have done a better job of saying, this is happening in this, and this is how you should be dealing with, like, this kind of racism. This is how, what you should do if this happens. And, you know, they didn't. They just went, oh, look at this, and hate, you should hate these people. And then, you know, and as bad as it was, I still felt a little bit sorry for Joe, who, from S Club 7, when she was getting interviewed, she's going, well, I've got loads of, like, Asian mates. I don't know what you're saying about. I know that is such a fucking tightrope, even when we do this. I hate that.
I think you're more conscious of it than I am.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's good working at school for so long. But
that
I've got a friend of that ethnic minority is not an excuse anymore, you know? That's not a... because I speak about it with Zoe a lot. And I say that I just see everyone as the same and I treat everyone the same. And she was saying that that's not good enough anymore, you know? There's such a thing as equity rather than equality, where people have been treated badly and they need to be brought up, so you should be almost nicer to them. Yeah, I think, maybe that's maybe something I should be aiming towards now. But I don't think ever in my life that I would consider myself or see it in my heart that I am at all racist, you know?
No, but then, like you say, not being racist now is not necessarily enough. You have to be overtly racist. You have to challenge things that you see, which is not easy because you know,
it's a really good,
it involves you that aren't any of your business a lot of the time.
Like, I had an incident at a school I worked at in Bristol. Was so, like, hot on it. Everything's you know, like, obviously because of how the city got its money and things through Colston and things, and the, you know, the statue in the we went to the museum where that statue is now in, and it shows you, like, what happened that day, and then it shows, like, if you look through this window, you can see to where it was. And on the Colston statue, someone had just spray painted on his coat, prick. That's such a timid, like, insult to this horrible band. But then, like, there was a fight between a white kid and a black kid, and the black kid was winning. So I took him to the behaviour room first. And I was getting all sorts of, like, insults from other kids telling me I was racist and things. And, like, screaming at me that I was racist because I was taking this black kid when he was having a fight with this other kid. And I, as a teacher, I had no idea what to do in that situation. Like, I just kind of had to get, because I'm obviously going to go and get the other kid, but you couldn't take them both together because they were fighting. I'm thinking, oh, should I have taken the white kid first just to prove them? And you just think, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to do what I think is right. And because that kid was winning and being the aggressor, he's the one that needs calming down first. Not, oh, he's black, take him to the fucking behaviour room. I worry about when you have problems with, say, kids don't like you at school, be it whatever their race is. Parents are on your case straight away. If it's a black kid, you're worried about a parent playing the race card almost, you know, and saying you've only done that. And then you're kind of, it's a bigger problem with your bosses and stuff because they've got to obviously investigate it more and things, and because it has that kind of element to it. It's just, like I say, just such a tightrope. And like I said, I just try and treat everyone the same. But what else can you do? But there you go. Got that. Got from reality TV today. Have you done well?
I don't know. That's pretty. No, that's still in the same sort of area, I think, isn't it? Because it's always a factor in things like that. I mean, even now though, in Love Island and things like that, I do wonder in Love Island they will have like black contestants.
Yeah.
But very few Asian. You almost feel like it's only a matter of time before someone says, you know, you can't be diverse with only sort of one different race. You know, it's everybody, and you know, it will happen if the program continues being made. I mean, I don't know how these things. But I'm still surprised off the back of that Caroline Flack thing with the hashtag Be Kind. Emma's favourite reality programme is still The Only Way is Essex. Like the other ones she sort of dips in and out of, but that's her one that she's kind of watched all the way through and looks forward to and sort of definitely wants to, you know, wouldn't want to miss it. But every episode pretty much builds towards an argument where people are being to each other.
Yeah, the end of...
God only knows what... Yeah, what goes on in the background to lead to that point, because they're always referring to like, oh, you did this on social media, you did that. So they probably all walk around in the hashtag Be Kind jumpers, and they probably all over their Instagram would have been pictures of Caroline Flack. But then they're kind of
they're part feeding of that, into it,
that sort of just being horrible to each other, like judging people on their appearance and all the stuff that kind of ultimately leads to that. And it's still on the telly, still being made.
Yeah, it just shows, you know, these things shout, but money screams, you know.
So, yeah.
TV channels, if they're going to make money out of things, are still going to make these things. And, you know, it's up to us to deal with it. It's not up to them. Oh, freedom of the press and, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can say whatever I want because I've got the freedom of the press. I looked up that Ian Lee thing you were telling me about.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew Wright. And, like, he was kind of, because Ian Lee said that he was... like depressed because he was going through a divorce, and then Matthew Wright asked him about it, and he went, "I don't want to talk about it because my mental health is not entertainment." And then Matthew Wright says about freedom and the press, and well, you said it on your radio show, so you're trying to make money out of it, so why can't I? Kind of thing. And I just thought, I absolutely hate everything about this. I don't understand why not everybody wants everyone to be all right. You know. Bring a bit of light into this. Can you tell us about the time you hit your head on a ceiling fan? I think we've already done that story, but
yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, I've had a wonderful evening.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Oh, it's been delightful.
Delightful.
All the people I'm living with here.
Callum, don't be a kiss ass, babe.
Don't start.
Sorry, what?
You listen. I have done my best. I have done my best. Cross Nicole and the mafia mob are with you. I'll cross you so badly you'll regret the rest of your life. You're a horrible... Don't, Callum. I had a good night tonight. And I walked into... You want to be punished? You ain't seen nothing yet. You want trouble, which I don't want. Oh, by Christ, you're going to get it in spade loads. You horrible, horrible people. And you girls that are gang-handed, you are such a bunch of cowards. You are such a bunch of cowards. You won't come to me and say, Callum, I'm sorry. What they've done to me tonight, it was a good night.
Call me later, please.
Listen, don't tell me what I say. I don't say it behind your back, which you do about me.
I will say everything to your face.
Listen, you. You're all smiles. You're all smiles. Then you go.
Don't come to her. And I'm telling you now.
Mother Bunny.
Sit down. You are so rude. No.
You want trouble. No. You've got it.
I don't want trouble.
Yes, you do,
I
Nicole.
I don't want trouble.
You're causing all this.
Sit down.
You're in the middle of...
diary room immediately.
You will never get the better of me.
I don't want to.
You will never.
I don't want to. You're an old lady and I respect that. Move on.
How dare you tell me how I must behave.
I feel sorry for you.
Oh, I'm sorry for you, pathetic little girl.
I feel sorry for you.
You're not getting one over on me. Every time there's arguments, the girls bring your name up. Give up.
You want this from me.
Give up. You horrible, horrible girl.
How is she, Kim? Horrible?
Yeah.
Please tell me how she's horrible.
Please tell me how she's horrible.
You're a chicken liver bunch.
Kim should leave the bedroom.
You can't stand up for yourself.
You should settle down.
You should be your own individual, have your own mind.
Very much my own. I'm not getting involved. Please tell me how she's horrible.
I will not take a lecture of how I've got to behave in this house.
Kim.
Shut up.
So overdramatic.
Shut up. Don't you bother.
Big Brother, I'm going home now. I'm going home now. Don't talk me down. I'm going home now.
Nicola, can you just bear with Big Brother 1 second?
No, I can't. I'm going home now.
I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. I'm mad. You two-faced bunch.
Kim.
Chicken liver. Oh, this is crazy.
This is Big Brother. Kim should go to the slums.
Don't!
Kim.
Come
on. Kim! Shut up! You're another one, you chicken-livered bugger.
No. This is Big Brother. Jamie should settle down and not leave the bedroom. Jamie should not leave the bedroom.
Kim!
No.
Who the are you talking to?
You interfered!
You are not!
You have just interfered! You interfered! You are
an
absolute
bully! This is Big Brother.
I promise you, I do not want Jamie to lose his and come across badly for my expense. I really, really don't.
This is Big Brother. Kim should go to the snog.
Shameless wonders. Cowards! A lot of you. Cowards! You have the guts to say what's...
You're a bully. You've come in here and you've picked on young girls. I've never known anyone like you. You're pathetic.
And I've never known anyone like you.
You're absolutely pathetic.
I won't take your nonsense if I've come in late.
On you if you're on fire.
And I wouldn't on you if you're on fire. Go away, you adulterer. You adulterer.
What you are is honesty.
And you're an adulterer. And you're an adulterer that 2 times your wife and she's got 3 kids. Listen, you're talking about decency. Oh, come on, darling.
I need to take you up the stairs, though.
Take you up. Love it.
I know. Come with me. Come with me.
Now, there is a solid 5 minutes of television, if I've ever seen it. Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
There's more and more things to appreciate in it, isn't there? The more you watch it.
Yeah. I knew that adulterer was the end. I knew that was coming because I remembered that bit.
Yeah.
Adulterer.
Like, and then the way she's kind of pouring her drink on that security guard, like, that she, without even trying. And, like, I love the fact that people are holding Jamie O'Hara back. Like, he's going to, you know, he's going to punch a 79-year-old woman who cleans people's houses. Like, it's just, it's absolutely and ridiculous.
Chicken livered as well is funny.
Yeah, just, I know Jedward were in that series, but I don't know where they were at that time. That would have just made it even better. Adulterer, that chicken-livered, gang-handed mother bunny. She's just a walking catchphrase. It's a cacophony of bullshit, isn't it?
I don't think it was in that bit. I thought it was going to be because she was calling Nicole, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And there was another bit in that series where she was having an argument with her and she was calling her Nicole, constantly calling her Nicole. And that like Nicola had the...
Yeah.
Like, had enough of it and just went, my name's not Nicole, it's Nicola. And that Kim Woodburn just paused for a second and went, oh, don't be so stupid.
Yeah. I like ex-Tottenham Jamie O'Hara. I like the fact that the guy who's working for Big Brother thinks that he can control everything by, like, just shouting down a microphone at a house of people who clearly are not listening. It's an absolute wonderful 5 minutes to tell you. And I think where we were talking about not being too, trying to be all PC and sticking up for people and stuff, I think Kim Woodburn almost put that on his head because she was, like, the oldest person in that house. And she just went in and acted like an absolute arsehole And then she really got found out for it. And I think everyone didn't like her from there. She struggles to get like work now because of that series. I think she had something on This Morning as well, didn't she? She had a big argument with Philip Schofield on This Morning and ended up walking off there. And that was over an argument she had with Keith Lemon on Celebrity Juice. So it's because she ended up walking off that as well. So she's clearly, I'd say she's got something wrong with her, but she's 79 years old and she's still making money by doing TV appearances. But then I think she's of the kind of Katie Hopkins kind of brand of being, I think she reads stuff in like Hello Magazine or whatever, Take a Break or whatever. And then that's the gospel truth for her. So, you know, I don't think she has how would she know that Jamie O'Hara's cheated on his wife who's got three kids unless she'd seen it in a magazine or, you know?
I don't know. It might have been something that was discussed in the house in the build up to that row, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
maybe he referred to it or someone else did, because he might have been in there saying, like, oh, yeah. I've been to try to sort my life.
Yeah, I repent my sins by coming on here and trying it on with Bianca Gaskell.
And that was like, it's the end of the day, like the people who, whether you're a fan of it or not, the people who make that TV program are people that make TV programs for a living, and they're good. The way they cut from like the carnage that's going on out there, just suddenly back to her in the diary room saying something really mundane, and then like looking at what's his name, was that James Cosmo out in the garden smoking?
Yeah, James Cosmo just kind of staying above it all with Colleen Nolan. And what I really love in that clip is I think his name's Spencer from The Hills. And it used to be Spencer and Heidi. Yeah. And he's just laying on the bed, lapping it up like a thirsty cat, just sitting back, watching it all, just really just thriving on it. Just, it is wonderful. And it's terrible to watch people argue. It's terrible to watch people fall out. But if they're celebrities, I think all bets are off.
One of the things that is still in mine and Emma's like day-to-day vocabulary because of Big Brother, and I can't, to be honest, I can't remember who it was that said it, but we both still say it now, is that, you know, the thing in Big Brother that is like worse than anything is talking behind someone's back, apparently.
Yeah.
People will say, it's don't say it to my back, say it to my face, don't say it behind my back. They're just obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And then there was someone in it once who was having an argument and they went, he said, to my face. And we just both like absolutely just wet ourselves and we're just like just thinking, what's left? What, you're gonna have to start shouting at the side of people's heads all the time.
Emma Fryer, who I'm friends with and drinks in the football club, she was talking about that, and I like at the time, and I said, are you talking about Kim Woodburn? And then still to this day, if I ever see her across a crowded football club, I'll hear adulterer.
Like, that's brilliant.
I was having an argument between that and David's Dead. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah, I nearly did that.
Yeah, that is a wonderful bit of telly. I can't remember the name of the black girl in it who goes completely off the handle, but she is a fucking knob.
I can't remember who she is or what her background was, but. I searched that clip earlier. The first match I saw was like 7 minutes long, so I kind of moved.
Yeah, I know that's quite a long clip. I might take a little bit of it out. But then, I think she was the woman I was talking about is either like, was it some dating show in America? Her name was like New York or Paris or something.
Yeah.
And then David Bowie's ex-wife gets told that David Bowie's died, and then she says David's dead, and David Geffen is one of the contestants on Big Brother, but then she flies so like hard off the handle that she's really screaming at this poor woman whose ex-husband just died, and she's been told, and she's screaming in her face about like lying to her about the death of David Geffen. it's just absolute madness. And then like at that point, you know, it's great. Oh, it's a human experiment and stuff. People should step in and go, no, you're wrong. It's great telly, but also you're hurting everything. Yeah, I love Celebrity Big Brother. I think there was a series with Vinnie Jones in it as well, so that was great. And
was he?
Yeah, and they were talking about like other kind of like films, like Battle Royale, like where, you know, there's a competition where people die, like a Hunger Games kind of thing. And they're talking about it, and then Dane Bowers turns to Vinnie Jones and goes, "Oh, you talking about that? Have you ever seen that film, The Condemned?" And Vinnie Jones goes, "I was fucking in it." Oh, now let me go have an argument with Bass Hunter. I think my favourite ever was Bear. I don't know if you know Bear. I think it was the last series of Celebrity Big Brother before the Roxanne Pallett thing, where now they're not making any more.
Yeah, I think I know who you mean.
I don't know his surname or anything. I knew him as Bear, and he won it. Stephen Bear, I think his name is.
Stephen Bear, yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
And he's possibly the worst person I've ever seen on telly, but so entertaining and so funny. Like the way he treated people and spoke to them and stuff. And he'd get them really wound up, but he knew he had the protection of the program and things. Like, and would get him to a point of where they want to beat him up. And he's like, oh, you're a very nasty guy. You're like, just like really low key with it. And then there's that famous clip where he wants the door open in the diary room. And then they don't want to open the door for him. And he says, right, if you don't, I'm going to smash this place up. And then he gets the door open. And then this 7-foot like security guard comes in and he really shits himself. Just wonderful television and all worthy clips on YouTube. But yeah.
But he's in a bit of bother recently. I saw a story that he's been using his kind of social media account to basically share like explicit like porn videos of him and his girlfriend.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, but claiming that, well, it's my, you know, it's my platform, I can do what I want. But he did it, some of them were shared whilst he was on holiday in Turkey or something.
Oh, and
they've sort of said, no, our laws are different. And I don't think he was detained or anything in the end. I think it all kind of kicked off after he left. But, you know, being what he's like, he's kind of saying, well, I'll go back there and I'll do it again. You know, he's not kind of accepted. Not allowed.
I don't think that's a crime, is it, being an absolute fucking idiot? I'd like to see a judge go, you are accused of being a fucking idiot. But like I say,
punishable by being given continued opportunities to work on the television.
I was unaware of this happening, and I didn't know anything about it until you text me. I don't know where my phone there. I'd want to read it because it was. All it said was, probably only the first couple of minutes need to be played, but his body language, as she pulls rank, once they start singing together, it can be stopped. And I thought, I have no idea what you're talking about. So, let's play.
It's good.
Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to. Searching for a hero, but they need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be, and so I learned to depend. If I succeed, at least I'll be happy. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because they're great.
Fucking hell. So, did you see this live at the time?
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So, Jermaine, is his name Jermaine?
Jermaine Douglas.
Jermaine Douglas. Oh, fuck me. Sorry, everybody. So, yeah, Jermaine Douglas. Singing The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. Right. So, Jermaine Douglas is singing The Greatest Love of All by Whitney Houston. And then Nicole Scherzinger comes out with her own microphone, singing obviously her part of the song. go on, Mark, from there.
So this is one of, in the final.
Is that the final as well?
Yeah. They do I think what they used to do, I don't know if they always did it like this. In the final, they would sing one of their first songs that kind of, you know, their audition song, the one that
came
on the path in the first place. They would then sing with like a celebrity. So like, I remember Alexandra Burke sang with Beyonce once.
Okay.
And then I think sometimes they would sing with, so Nicole Scherzinger was his coach, his mentor.
Right.
But she, I suppose she ticked two boxes of being a famous person and his coach and mentor.
Oh, right.
So they did this one together. She comes out, like you say, doing her bit. Mm. Something goes wrong with her mic she's walking towards him.
She sounds terrible, doesn't she, when she's coming out?
Yeah.
And I think she's blaming the microphone for that.
Sorry. And then as she walks towards him, he starts singing his bit again. And like you say, is markedly better at singing than she is. But just the he's absolute still like great. Apex of his bit that he's doing, she just takes his mic off him.
But then she turns with it as well. Not having it back.
You almost see him die. He's in front of your eyes. He shrinks two inches.
He has literally no idea what to do. It's brilliant.
And then he kind of follows her around like a stray puppy for a few seconds. And then she brings him back in by sort of handing the microphone back temporarily before they start sharing it, just in time for him to say, "You can't take away my dignity." just did, mate.
But the line before that is like, "You can't take it away from me." she does that as well. But like, and then the fact that she doesn't even give him the other mic to like carry on pretending to sing or something, or lip syncing, and then you share the mic. She's just walking around with both microphones, and he is lost in front of a lot of people, and you could feel the burden of it on his shoulders. It's absolutely it's brilliant.
It's the final, and that's the person who's coached him all the way through the final, to try and get him to win the competition. And when it's the absolute kind of pinnacle moment for him, his note, the note of his life, she's like, "I'll have that, thank you very much."
And then the first line he sings is a bit screechy, isn't it, and doesn't go particularly well. But can you imagine being in that situation? Like, you know, like you say, even in front of that audience, if I was singing in front of two people when that happened, God, it's absolutely amazing. I think that's better than Nightmare Kid. Oh, so fucking wonderful. Yeah, just, and the final as well. That's good. Like, you know, he could have a Christmas number one out of that. He can, like, there must be a good 20 million people watching us, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a massive fan of X Factor. I'm not a big fan of the singing contest. I don't particularly like Britain's Got Talent, and I think it's just so poor.
But, I liked them, like I say, a few years ago, probably several. I reckon the time that I remember liking those things the most and watching them was probably in and around the years that me and Emma first moved to Reading and moved in together. Because every Saturday night, even if we weren't going out, felt like it was like a night out, because we were kind of in our own place together, you know, take away a few beers, and then something like that would be on the telly, and you'd end up sort of, it would become like, what's it called, like event TV, you know, stuff that you, even if you don't necessarily like it particularly, you might see someone like Emma really liked Olly Murs, like from the first time she saw it. Oh. We would watch that whole series, like almost wanting him to do well.
Yeah, you get a horse and you back it throughout. I was the same with Darius, I think. Was that? So, Darius. That
would, he was pop stars.
Pop Idol, yeah.
Yeah.
Went on
the
to win
the Will Young Gareth Gates series, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was, I think, my first year in Sheffield, that 2001. So that was like 20 years ago.
Oh, bloody hell, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember being in someone's house for the final. You know, someone was just at a Saturday night house party and it was on. It wasn't something that I'd watched, but I remember seeing it. So that was 20 years.
God, I remember liking Rylan when he was on X Factor. To kind of like, this man is absolutely ridiculous. And then every time I see him on telly or hear him on the radio now, I think he's amazing. I think he's brilliant. Like, I love his radio show. I think he's brilliant in like Supermarket Sweep and stuff. Oh, that's at work sometimes. I think someone tried to insult him the other day by calling him Dale Winton, and he just looked at him and went, do you know what, that is the best compliment I've ever had. You think, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I like a bit of Ryland.
Yeah.
But yeah, from X Factor, I don't think I'd ever bought Ollie Murs. Is, yeah, I don't mind a bit of Ollie Murs. I think I've owned a One Direction song that I quite liked. But other than that, I don't think I've ever, I couldn't name you more than three or four winners.
Oh, there you go. I don't know where it was. I think the other day I saw it. I can't remember what I was looking for. Knitting things together.
Love that.
Jamie O'Hara. Another thing similar to that apprentice, I had kind of recollections of doing what I considered a funny tweet a few years ago. And I found it. And it was Max Rushton, you know, Sky Sports, Talk Sport, on at the time, I think he was co-presenting a Talk Sport show with Jamie O'Hara.
Right.
And Max Rushton tweeted about the story about how he met and then proposed to his wife.
Okay.
Have you heard the story of how he proposed?
No, I haven't heard this story. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. So he proposed to his wife. One of the things they used to do was go and get coffee and sit together doing like a particular crossword together.
Right.
And he contacted the paper and got them to print the crossword, where the answers to the clues basically spelled out his proposal. And then he was sat there doing the crossword with her and then figuring them out together. And then that was it. And he shared, and obviously, like, it went viral or whatever it's called, you know, like loads of like shares, retweets, and everything else. I obviously came to it a bit later when quite a lot of people had all been saying how wonderful it is. And I said, as opposed to his co-host who stood outside Tiger Tiger with a net.
Right, I've got anything else to go on, mate? Anything else you want to mention? Yeah, I say this every week, and we never ever have.
No, we'll probably rewatch a couple. I'm going to watch Jarmaine again, I think, because I
should just watch it together now. just absolutely brilliant. I'll just go to the microphone snatch. She's asking for it, isn't she? Like, give me the microphone. The way he sings Shadow.
At one point, he looks like he's about to start, like...
Yeah. But then, like, what could be going through his head? Like, just go. Just leave. Just get out of here. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, mate. Absolute pleasure. It's good to get back into it. Yeah. And I will. We'll hopefully get together next week, and we'll think of another one. So, cheers, mate.
Cheers. See you soon.
See you, mate.
Please subscribe to us at youtubereviewpodcast.blogspot.com or see us on Twitter @RockleRussell1.